This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Oh, I go off the floor. Okay, so it's very likely that you're going to hear kids screaming in this video, inshallah ta'ala. Go ahead and I'll wait for you guys to start logging on. One viewer, 22 viewers. All right, 119, 161. Kum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum as-salam wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa alaykum as-salam. All right. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. I'm seeing all of your salams, so I'm just... Okay. So we got about 450. All right, cool. Let's go. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, alhamdulillah, we are now in Juz 14. So we're pretty much, we're at the halfway point almost of the Qur'an. And Juz 14 contains two surahs. It contains Surah Al-Hijr and Surah Al-Nahl. So it's actually just these two surahs in their entirety. And if you remember yesterday when we sort of left off talking about the transition point from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam and so on and so forth, Al-Ra'id and then Surah Ibrahim, this idea that each and every single surah is starting off with a verse about the Qur'an itself. Alright, so it tells you something that you need to know about the Qur'an. And essentially when it comes to Surah Ibrahim, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us by giving us divine revelation. That divine revelation is a favor of God upon His creation. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. So the purpose of the revelation is to take you from darkness upon darkness upon darkness to light, and by the permission of their Lord, to the path of the one who was always exalted in might and always praiseworthy. So this next surah, subhanAllah, Surah Al-Hijr, immediately what it starts off with, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitabi wa Qur'an Mubin, that these are the verses of the book and a clear Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رُبَّمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is mentioning the regret of those who disbelieved for not believing. So if you connect it to the previous surah mentions that this revelation is a favor of God upon His creation, and that it takes people from darkness to light, and it's actually good for you, and it will give you the best of this life and the next. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with the regret. So this is pretty much how the transition of the Qur'an constantly is, right? From hope to fear, from bushra, glad tidings, to punishment, and so on and so forth. So this is the consequence part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Go ahead and leave them to enjoy themselves and to, you know, and to eat and to enjoy themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are deluded by their amal. They're deluded by their false hope. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So they will come to know. So basically this idea that now the consequences are being mentioned for turning away from revelation. In this surah, Surah Al-Hijr, you have some of the most important verses about the Qur'an as well. Primarily verse 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun," that indeed it is we who sent down the Qur'an, and we will guard the Qur'an, we will preserve the Qur'an. If you remember, Surah Ibrahim sort of focused on the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone to confirm the truth. The Prophet does not need anyone to confirm the truth. The truth is manifest, and the truth is for the benefit of the one who holds on to it and the one who listens and obeys. So this idea of the independence of the truth from needing confirmation. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and by the way, this will remain preserved. And by the way, this is also at the end of Mecca. So all of these surahs in succession are actually at the end of Mecca. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed it and we will protect it. So Allah makes a promise and a guarantee to the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ that something unique will happen with this message. Of all the messages that have come before, This is the only divine scripture that will remain protected and be maintained until the end of time, because it's a universal scripture, a universal prophet, a universal ummah. Okay, so that's why in particular, this surah started off with, particularly mentioning the Qur'an, وَقُرْآنٍ مُبِينٍ, that this is a plain and clear Qur'an, it's manifest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Qur'an in the first verse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will be the ones to protect it. And then it goes into, which is pretty typical of Mecca Qur'an, when I say Mecca Qur'an, obviously I mean Qur'an revealed in Mecca, it goes into the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the heavens and the earth, and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. So Allah mentions His creation. He mentions the ridicule of the messengers that came before. He mentions the destruction of the nations that came before, without specifying any particular nation in this, at least in this portion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another snippet of the story of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُ لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when your Lord said to the angels, I will create a human being out of clay and from حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ is black mud. So فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. So once I have proportioned him and breathed into him of my spirit, then fall down to him in prostration. What's very interesting about these particular ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Adam alayhi salam was not worth having anyone prostrate to him until the spirit and the soul was breathed into him. Now that's a powerful message. Why? Because what it shows us is that without our souls, without our spirits, we are nothing but lumps of flesh, and we are of no value and of no worth. So when it comes to Adam alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam's value comes from his soul and comes from his spirit. And the soul and the spirit is valued only in accordance with how much it follows divine guidance. So the soul is beautified by its conforming to divine guidance. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that without divine guidance, we become absolutely of no value. And so here with Adam alayhi salam, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proportioned him, and once the spirit has been breathed into him, then the sujood was commanded to him, then the prostration was commanded to him. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so all of the angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salam, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى أَن يَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Except for Iblis, he refused to be from amongst those who prostrated. Now, in the previous surah, in Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the speech of shaitan, the speech of Iblis on the Day of Judgment. So Iblis gathering his followers and giving them that final speech before they all go to hellfire. And Iblis basically saying that you did this to yourselves, I had no control over you whatsoever. إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I called towards my path. I gave my da'wah to you, and you responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, but blame yourselves. So Surah Ibrahim, the previous surah, Iblis is actually distancing himself by saying, look, I didn't do anything. I had no control over you whatsoever. You followed me, so it's your fault. Here, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conversation between himself and subhanahu wa ta'ala and Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as a response to the shaytan, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. That my servants, indeed my servants, you have no control over them except those who follow you of the deviators. This is really powerful, because Allah is referring to the fact that people feel a sense of emptiness. They're not fulfilled. Ghaween are people who are not feeling fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they turn towards shaitan for fulfillment. So the problem is that they become slaves to their desires, because they have not tasted the pleasure of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inclining towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the key message here is that, number one, shaitan has no control over us. So the speech that he gives in the previous surah, that's referenced in the previous surah, that I had no control over them except that I called them and they responded is confirmed here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shaitan's only power is an attractive message to the one who is looking for fulfillment in the form of their desires. But shaitan has no authority over you and no power over you in any way whatsoever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And verily hellfire is a promised place for them all. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. That it has seven gates. It has seven gates. So hellfire has seven gates. How many gates does paradise have? So hellfire has seven, Jannah has eight. And so subhanAllah, the idea here that the scholars mentioned, which is quite profound, is that this is the superiority of Allah's mercy to His anger. That even Jahannam has seven gates, but Jannah has one more gate than Jahannam. Paradise has eight gates, whereas hellfire has seven. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the superiority of His mercy to His punishment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then referring to the believers entering into paradise, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. That indeed the righteous will be within gardens and springs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. Enter into paradise in peace, safe and secure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And we have removed whatever is in their hearts, in their chests of resentment, so they will be brothers on thrones facing one another. Envy is what caused shaitan to fall out of paradise, right? Or to lose his position. Envy and pride, right? Envy and pride. He had pride. He felt he was better than Adam alayhi salam. And so his envy, his hasad, was based on his pride. His envy was that, why is Adam alayhi salam receiving this blessing when I am clearly superior to him? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the people enter paradise, Allah will remove from all of their hearts any of those things that would cause them to resent one another or cause them to envy one another. So it's not like the people at the bottom of paradise will see those that are above them and they'll say, hey, how come he's at a higher degree than me? I was better than him. I know he must have done some things here or there. She must have done some things here or there, but I'm still better than that person. There's none of that. There's no, in fact, the people, the Prophet ﷺ said that the fuqara of Al-Jannah, the poorest people of Al-Jannah, the people at the lowest level of Al-Jannah, they would think that they are the most fortunate people of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think they're the best. They won't recognize that there are degrees that are above them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes any form of pride. Allah removes any form of envy, any form of resentment, any form of competition. Because Allah knows that when we have goodness in this world, what really spoils the ni'mah that you have in this world is when you start focusing on the ni'mah of someone who has more than you. You start focusing on the blessing, the ni'mah, of someone who has more than you. So you would be totally satisfied with your home and your car and your career and your spouse and your family, your children and so on and so forth. But then once you see what other people have, you start belittling what you have. So Allah removes all of that when we enter into paradise, all of the reasons, the root causes that cause a person to go astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes it. And there's a beautiful verse here in verse 49. What is the core of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform my servants that it is I who am the most forgiving and the most merciful, and that my punishment is a painful punishment. This is the equivalent of the previous surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are grateful, I will increase you. And if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. So Allah does not threaten directly with the punishment, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly connects the reward to the gratitude that's shown. So here, notice once again, Allah's forgiveness and His mercy is referenced first. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The first thing you should tell my servants, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and any da'i, any caller to the path of God that's following in the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that I am a merciful and a forgiving God. And then that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam once again, the bushra, the glad tidings that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the story of Lut alayhi salam, and the story of Lut and his people. And this is one of the many references to the story of Lut alayhi salam and his people that we find in the Quran. Now, as we said, the reference to shaitan in this particular surah, in this particular context, because there's a reference to shaitan in these five surahs altogether, all right? And they each fit with the theme of the surah. The reference to this surah was the reference of uncontrolled desire, that a person leaves that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permitted for them, and they channel their desires instead in a way that's prohibited for them. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in regards to the shaitan not having control and authority over you, except for those who go to the shaitan pursuing impermissible outlets for their desires. So in this situation, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Lut alayhi salam and his people. And this is the idea of tadharuna ma khalaqa Allahu lakum, that you leave that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permitted for you. So instead of going through the permissible alternative of, or the permissible contract of marriage, right? You sought other things. And Lut alayhi salam in particular, what does he do? He even offers his daughters, right? In verse 71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Lut alayhi salam even offering his daughters, right? And this shows you the care and the genuine empathy that the prophets had for their people. That Lut alayhi salam says, "Ha ula ibanati in kuntum fa'ilin." Look, these are my daughters if you want to get married. So if a person sticks to that which is permissible, and they seek to channel their desires in a way that's permissible, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. If they seek otherwise, then shaitan will open up all sorts of things for them. Then we move on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning Ashabul Aika, and the people of Thamud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning some of the punished nations as well. So He mentions the punishment of the people of Lut alayhi salam. He mentions the punishment of Ashabul Aika. Okay, so the people Thamud and the retribution that came to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ashab al-Hijr. Okay, so the people of the rocky tract. That's the translation of al-Hijr, the rocky tract. This here, what this is referring to, and this the reason why this surah is named after al-Hijr, is that the people of al-Hijr that used to carve out places, houses within the mountains, feeling secure, right? If you realize Allah mentioned the people of paradise, when they enter into paradise, they're told to come in aminin. They come into paradise with security and safety. These people that turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sought their protection by carving out homes into the mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically saying that that's not going to offer you any protection whatsoever. Carving, homes into the mountains, using the skills that Allah gave you, it's not going to offer you protection from your Lord. When the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, the punishment comes. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 84, فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And so nothing availed them from what they used to earn. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to this, once again, referring to the importance of the message here, and the importance of following the Quranic guidance and the divine revelation as it comes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says once again, this idea that shaitan has no authority whatsoever over his creation. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the surah with a recognition that it pains the believers, the hardship that the believers face by remaining firm on this path. It pains them. It pains the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it pains the believers that are with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ. We know, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ, that your heart feels constrained by the things that they say about you. You hate the things that you face. You hate the hardship that you're facing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So exalt Allah with the praise of your Lord, and be amongst those who prostrate to Him. if you realize this is a direct response to what the shaytan did. Shaytan did not want to be from as-sajideen. He did not want to be from those who prostrated themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So humiliation came to him. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want glory, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You want glory, O followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then be amongst those who prostrate. Kun min as-sajideen. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. And yaqeen here means death. Okay, so yaqeen in this particular context means death. Meaning keep on worshipping Allah and keep on being from amongst those who prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until your very last moments. The connection here is that Allah is the one who provides you your outlets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides you your glory. Do not let the emptiness inside of you lead you to the ways of shaitan. If you are fulfilled with the pleasure of worshipping your Lord and abiding by His contract, by His covenant, in the form of tasbih and dhikr and sajda, right? Glorification, remembrance and prostration, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you independent of the ways of shaitan, and shaitan's appeal will not affect you. Now Surah An-Nahl, which is the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ata amrullah fala tasta'jilu," that the command of Allah is on its way, so do not be impatient for it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun, exalted is He and high above what they associate with Him. The idea here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not rush for the punishment of God. Don't ask for it. Don't mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way that the previous prophets were mocked by their people. And they were told to just go ahead and bring about the punishment of God upon us. Whether it was the people of Noah, the people of Lot, the people of Hud, whoever it may be, they rushed the punishment. They mocked their prophet and they said, go ahead and bring the punishment upon us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not rush for the punishment of God to come towards you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already willed that the day of judgment is on its way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, then it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful discourse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to mention His creation, the way that He creates. But it's one of the most beautiful, passages which talk about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of creation. So Allah mentions, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, that He created the heavens and the earth in truth. And high is He above what they associate with Him. Allah mentions, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, human being. He created you from a dirty drop of fluid. And suddenly, you're a clear adversary. You're someone who argues, and you're someone who expresses, and you're someone who chooses whether to follow guidance or not follow guidance. And Allah says, He didn't put you in this world without help. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you grazing livestock, and He created it for you. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, that you have from it warmth and numerous benefits, and from them you eat. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا and you have amongst that livestock جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ, you have beauty when you bring them in the evening and when you send them out during the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ, it carries your belongings from city to city. And you know, the favor in that regard, Allah mentions, and He created for you al-khayl, horses and mules and donkeys for you to ride. And He created for you that which you don't know. وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, Allah creates that which you don't know. The scholars say something very beautiful here, that the observable universe and the observable favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are enough for us to come to the conclusion that we have a Lord who creates and a Lord who sustains. Okay, that's the observable universe. But all of the elements that we don't see that are working in perfect harmony to make life easy for us and to allow us to continue to live and to function, all of that is being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your benefit, even if you're not actually recognizing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these different things. He mentions az-zar' والزيتون والنخيل والأعناب. He mentions the crops, the olives, the palm trees, the grapevines, all of these different fruits. He mentions وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ. He said that he subjected for you the night and the day and the sun and the moon, and the stars are subjected by his command. So all of these things, the entire orbit is to your benefit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all of these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of all of these different things that he's given you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if you were to try to count the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to enumerate them. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses ni'mat Allah, the blessing of Allah, in the singular. And the scholars mentioned that because the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it as singular is because if you were to take one single blessing, take the blessing of the sun, take the blessing of water, take the blessing of a heart, take the blessing of your fingertips, take the blessing of your eyes, take one blessing that Allah has given you and try to enumerate all of the blessings that come from that, you would not be able to do so. But Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. The scholars here say, لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, most forgiving, most merciful. What it really refers to here is that Allah understands that you're not going to be able to thank Him for everything He's given you. Allah does not burden you beyond your scope. So the fact that you're unable to thank Allah for everything that He's given you does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish you for that. But at least when you recognize the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous forms, make sure that you express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah focuses then on an-nahl, the creation of the honeybee. Look at that little honeybee and look at all of the miracles of Allah in that tiny honeybee. How much honey does the bee provide? And how much benefit comes from those little bees? And how magnificent of a creation is that little tiny bee? So Allah did not create anything illa bilhaq, except with a purpose and except with in truth. And all of that is for the benefit of mankind. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us. If you fast forward to the end of this surah, and again, Allah mentions the favors of children, the favors of animals, the favors of everything, the heavens and the earth here. So you can sort of go through that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, the most comprehensive verse in the Qur'an. According to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the most comprehensive verse in the Qur'an is verse 90 of Surah An-Nahl, where Allah says, indeed Allah orders justice, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. So Allah commands you with three things. He commands you with justice, He commands you with excellence in your conduct, and He commands you with excellence to your relatives in particular. So justice is to everyone. Justice in general, compassion in general, and goodness in general, and then specifically to your relatives. So these are the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins us with in this verse. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically forbids you from al-fahsha, from wickedness, from bad conduct, and from oppression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids you from all of those things. And notice here that Allah does not specify to who. So you're forbidden from wronging any one of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the surah, Allah really mentions the value and the special role that each and every single creation plays in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's scheme of things. So you should not wrong and you should not show injustice to any animal, to anyone regardless of their faith or whatever it may be. You should avoid wronging people. So Allah commands us with three and He forbids us from three. And Ibn Mas'ud said this is the most comprehensive ayah in the Qur'an. And it became, after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz used to mention this at the end of every khutbah. So it became the tradition of our ummah that the khatib, that the one who's giving the sermon, the Friday sermon, will mention this particular ayah because of its comprehensiveness. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 93, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He could have made you all one religion. And what that means here is that Allah could have made you angels, where you were incapable of sinning, where you were not tested at all. Allah could have made you just like the angels. But the fact of the matter is that the angels have a particular role to play, and Allah has created us with a role to play. So if Allah wanted to create us without free will and to create us to be forced into submission, He could have done so. But instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a choice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to where we could either choose to acknowledge those blessings and acknowledge that guidance, or we could reject it. So Allah did not force us into a religion. He did not force us to be like the angels, to where we have no choice but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, and this is very, very powerful and very beautiful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says once again about the shaytan. And pay attention. So this is the end, and mashallah, you guys have argued quite a bit today. So lots of comments. I haven't been reading them, but you guys have been kind of going at it. So everyone that's arguing back, I know we always have people that come and try to argue and things of that sort. Just focus, inshallah ta'ala, right now on this point that Allah mentions, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That shaytan has no authority over those who have believed and those who rely upon their Lord. So people of tawakkul, shaytan will not be able to lead them astray. People who depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection of this particular reference to the previous reference in the previous surah. So in the last surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that shaytan has no authority over his servants, except for those who seek him for fulfillment. They go to shaytan, they want shaytan's path because they seek fulfillment of their desires in a satanic way. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that people who trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fall to the authority of shaytan. The reason being, the difference between the two, is that many times people forsake the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are seeking risk or sustenance in this world. They think, for example, that by abandoning the particulars of the religion and the particulars of guidance, by being selective in what we apply, that, you know, I can earn more money and I can be in a better situation in this world. You know, when shaytan comes to a person and says, hey, you know, it's okay if you use a little bit of riba, a little bit of usury. Everyone uses riba. It's okay if you sell these products. It's okay if you get in this capital market. It's okay if you get in this, if you get in that, and so on and so forth. Why? Because many people turn away from the path of Allah because they think that provision comes from outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that religion hinders them from pursuing what they want in this world. But Allah says in this surah, actually in Surah An-Nahl, لَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, that those who respond to the guidance of Allah will have a good life. Allah will give them a good life. So the idea here, what's being mentioned here, is that Allah is the provider, and you need to recognize that Allah is the provider. And don't let shaytan convince you that by following some of his ways, that and entrusting yourself to him and his ways instead, that you're going to get more of this world. You will not get more of this dunya by turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for us in fulfillment, so that we don't become slaves to our desires and become susceptible to shaytan in that way. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill us with trust, to fulfill us with fulfillment to counter the desires, and to fill us with trust so that we don't fall vulnerable to the tactics of shaytan, thinking that provision comes from anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jazakumullahu khairan to you all. Inshallah ta'ala, I will see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.